T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And our friend Lara Brown, director of the Graduate School of Political Management at George Washington University, joins us to help us kind of figure out what happened last night. Hey, how you, Lara?
I'm well. How are you, Tommy?
I'm good. So let's talk about the debate last night in terms of winners and losers. One thing that I noticed, Lara, and it's hard to tell what's the show business and what's not, but it would seem as though Kamala Harris does not really like Joe Biden at all.
Well, I don't know that I think that. I just think that both of them are in the center of that stage last night. And there is a reality that when you look at the polling and you look at how things are shaping up, she is doing very well in Iowa. In fact, in the Iowa polls, she comes in second to Joe Biden. So they are in kind of a fierce competition to figure out who's going to be top dog in this race. And that always kind of creates friction and some at least perceived animosity.
And I should throw in here as well that not everybody that was in these debates, I guess it could happen, but it probably won't be in the September debate. Some are already in because it depends on how many people have donated to the campaign. Is that right, Lara, and where you are in 3 selected polls?
That's right. So at the national poll level, you have to come in. I believe the percentage point that they put was 2% or more in support. And believe it or not, a good dozen of these folks are not reaching that level. Most of them only have about 1% support. And then you also have to have, I believe it's over 130,000 individual donors. So it is a higher bar. And right now, I think there are about 7 people who have qualified. I imagine a couple more will. I wouldn't be surprised if Julian Castro gets there. I thought he had a good performance last night. But it's certainly more difficult than it has been.
So in terms of the people that have already qualified, who would be the front runners? Was part of the idea, I'm thinking of Mayor Pete here, kind of lay back, play defense, if you will, play it safe, and then really turn it on in September? Or did they have to turn it on last night and the night before if they want to increase the money that comes in?
Well, I agree with you. I think that this was, if you are in the lead or you are doing well, you don't necessarily need to go on the attack. You just need to live to fight another day. And much of that, I think you saw in sort of Kamala Harris. I think you saw that with, as you said, Pete Buttigieg. I think you even saw that with the, quote, non-aggression pact that both Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren had. They did not go after each other in the first night, specifically because they know that there will be a time down the road where they will be going after each other.
I had to use the DVR last night and rewind because at one point I thought they said the healthcare program would cost $3 trillion. Then somehow it went up to $30 trillion. Then it went up to $32 trillion. I don't quite understand what went on there. Did somebody begin misquoting and then everybody else repeated it?
Well, I don't know. I think there are a lot of different plans, and I think there are a lot of different understandings about how you take in the costs or where the cost savings come from, right? There's obviously a public option, which means that you basically keep the Obamacare plan right now, and then you allow people to buy into a public option, which would be like buying into Medicare. Then, and that is in all sort of respects, kind of the cheapest plan, but it's not the cheapest in terms of the American people, in that Americans say, look how much I'm already paying for my private insurance. Look how much it goes up every year. Businesses and employers say the same thing. So some of these people with more expensive plans, these Medicare for all plans, what they're saying is, look, you're not going to have to pay a private insurer. You're not going to have to pay for co-pays and deductibles. You are going to pay in your taxes. There will be a line item that is deducted from your paycheck now in the way that Social Security is. And that deduction will essentially go to a health care plan that will be complete coverage all the time. You will just have to essentially show up at the doctor's.
You know, the night before, Elizabeth Warren, and yesterday we were talking about this, had, you know, a big soundbite with why would you run for president to tell us what we can't do? And she attacked John Delaney. But actually, in a way, he was trying to kind of get into the details of, okay, we're all promising this, or you're promising this, let's see if it can actually happen, or it can't because of this, because of that. Did he kind of get the short shrift here in that he was trying to make a valid point?
Well, I do think that John Delaney was serving as sort of proxy for Joe Biden. I mean, what we have to realize is that the Democrats are engaged in really a debate of ideas as much as people. And what is happening here is that the Democratic Party is trying to say, what should our platform look like? How progressive should it be? How bold should it be? There are progressives who are making the argument that Donald Trump won on sort of throwing off some of the old Republican ideas. He is, in fact, said, we're going to go down the road of tariffs. Republicans prior to Trump never would have done that. They were the party of free trade. And so Democrats are saying to themselves, if Trump can do these kinds of things, why shouldn't we take some bold actions in ways to throw off the past party mantle? And that includes throwing away some of Barack Obama's legacy in office.
Yeah, that surprised me, too. Some of the people are distancing themselves from that. In a way, Joe Biden, a little bit. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, we'll talk about both nights and looking ahead. One of the themes seemed to be who would be better at taking on Donald Trump. And I presume they're talking about in a debate, not just in an election. But we'll see. Laura Brown's our guest, director of the Graduate School of Political Management at George Washington University. I don't know about sleepy Joe Biden. I think he should be goofy old Uncle Joe Biden, because he was caught on an open mic last night telling Kamala Harris, take it easy on me, kid. And she responded with, you good? Back in a flash, WWL. 724, Tommy Tucker, WWL. A quick text about Joe Biden says that he had a couple of misspeaks. Is that typical? Laura Brown, our guest, director of the Graduate School of Political Management at George Washington University, and our friend. I said instead of sleepy Joe, he seems like lovable old goofy Uncle Joe, and he knows what he's doing, but he kind of gets flustered in his own words. Is that the way? Which Joe Biden do you think Democratic voters see? Do they see a guy that's old and maybe slipping a little bit, or do they see a guy that always has put his foot in his mouth, and that's just Joe being Joe?
Well, I think what they see is they want him to be this strong vice president, sort of an heir to the Obama legacy, somebody who can really take the fight to Donald Trump, because he's, you know, from this kind of Northeast corridor, and the two can go at it in this sort of, you know, meet in the middle New Jersey kind of way. But I think what people are seeing is that Vice President Biden, first of all, has never been all that strong on the campaign trail. This is his third presidential run, and the other two did not end well. He was out of the race much earlier than many people thought he would be. Secondly, they see that he is older and that he is kind of stumbling to remember some facts or get some thoughts out. I mean, I will say that the Twitter memes last night when he texted sort of the code to get involved with the Biden campaign were just brutal. I mean, people were joking that, you know, he gave up his ATM code and that there were all sorts of things that were going on other than what he was trying to do.
Dadgummit, that's my ATM code. Don't. Oh, wait a minute. I just saw you my ATM code. Now what do we do? When it comes to Andrew Yang, I thought he had a, and he's not going to be president. I think we all know that. But he made a comment about engaging in a reality TV show in terms of the debates, and that's how we wound up. And I'm just quoting him now. That's how we wound up with a reality star in the White House. But when it comes to standing up to Trump, as they say, battling with the president, do they mean all along the campaign trail, or how important is it, speaking of reality TV shows, that you have somebody on a stage? And, for example, you know how he was crowding Hillary Clinton, kind of lurking behind her? Are we looking for somebody here as a Democratic candidate, as an American public, that would stand up to Donald Trump on that stage during the debates, or is it all about the campaign? And when he gets right down to it, does it really matter because Democrats are going to vote Democrats and Republicans are going to vote Republicans? Or, Laura, if I may make this question even longer, I heard somebody say yesterday in relation to the Fed, people vote their pocketbooks, so we can have debates, we can do this, we can do that, but it all depends on how the economy's doing at the time.
Well, wow, that's a really big question. Where do we start?
Well, okay, because so you can handle it, Laura. That's why I asked you.
The first thing is the debates matter. And you're right that Donald Trump lurking over Hillary Clinton and Hillary not turning around and just looking at him and saying, back off, Buster, was a major mistake for her. Because one of the things that the public looks for as they look at these debates is this person behaving in a way that I would behave? Is it normal? And that was what undid Dukakis when he was asked about how would he handle essentially prosecuting a person who raped his wife. And this all came up within the context of crime and him being soft on crime. And he proceeded to talk about how he was not in favor of the death penalty, rather than saying, well, first I would grab my shotgun and kill him. Then I would, you know, help him through the rule of law, because that's how people respond. And there is a way in which Hillary appeared to reinforce that sense that she's just a machine. She didn't tell Trump to back off. And I think that's what Kamala Harris was trying to get at last night as she was talking about Donald Trump being a predator and acting in a predatory manner toward people, and that he goes after people that he perceives as weak. And she argued that she would stand up to him and that that's what she's done her entire life as a prosecutor. We'll see if that works.
Good. I'm sorry, I mean, please.
And then I was just going to say the second part of this is yes, what the actual ideas of the campaign are about and who is representing the Democratic Party will also matter in terms of going toe-to-toe with Donald Trump. You know, there is a way in which Trump likes to make it appear as though he is the only one. He is the alpha dog and no one else can compete with him. But I think this is where Cory Booker was really strong last night in essentially arguing that we can't play on his field. We have to think about this differently if the Democrats are going to do this.
Very quickly, because we have to go, when it comes to the election, is it all about the economy? Do people vote their pocketbooks? If the economy's up, President Trump's looking pretty good. If the economy's down, look out.
Look, this president has not benefited from a strong economy the way most presidents have, and that relationship is disassociating, partly because of the polarization and partisanship that we see in this country. And so I think what you're going to see is really a bigger question, which is, are the independents interested in four more years of a Donald Trump presidency or not?
Thank you, Laura. Appreciate your time as always. Laura Brown, Director of the Graduate School Political Management at George Washington University. We'll be back in moments. Right now, though, we pause for WWL First News, and we go to Studio B with David Blake.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.